What you're saying is that everything is clearly, you know, under Hashgacha Pratis, and Hashem is definitely under control, right? And we zach to have a Purim with Hashem. But Chas Hashem, I don't want to be Makachik, but you know, there are so many terrible factions today in Klal Yisrael, such Rishoyim, such wicked people. So like, halavai that you know, we should have the zechusim and the zechusim, you know, that, like you see, Rachman said there was a Holocaust, right? Hashem Yirachem, Hashem Yirachem, and these people, you know, Hashem Yirachem, like they don't realize they're eating from the Holocaust. They think, well, they don't have a zechus to be here for one day, not a half a day, not a second, and it's just nisim neshamayim, and with this nisim, what are they doing? Yeah, they're working around big shots. Yeah, we're here. You know, they don't realize what are they here? What gives them a right to be? It's chus to be here. You know, and what are they doing with this chad? The chus chad to show them, you know, what's there? But they're fighting Hashem, you know, with the schools and the kids and the brainwashing against Hashem, against His Torah, against Hashem, you know, and the little Torah we have, so it's their greatest will, you know, to take away our, so of course we believe in Hashem. Hashem is taking care, but there's what to be nervous about, not those people, it's that these people, you know, that you know, there was a churban bayis rishon, there was a churban bayis sheni, and there was lots of blood that was spilled. You know, it says about the beitar, you know, how much blood was gushing. You know, and so the blood's gush. You know, so we believe in Hashem is control, but we don't realize what these rishon, these mishchasim, what they're doing for Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. So, Eichanami, Hashem, it was a Mordek and Ness. That's why it's called the Pesach Pesach. You know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu passed over our house, right? But it was a Ness. Why was such a Ness? Because, you know, with a very close call not to, especially if four out of 5 years in the Seder, or 49 out of 50 in the Seder, according to some days, and according to other days, 499 out of one, you know, for 500 in the Seder. And according to some days, it was 4,999 for 5,000 in the Seder. So imagine, it was indeed a big Ness. Passover, Hashem passed over, you know, it's such a great Ness that we have to name the whole Yanta Pesach over that. Yes, you know, because we see that there were so many Rishonim in Klal Yisrael. It was a Mordek and Ness that Hashem was Mavchin between us.
It says by Choshech, and Choshech, they did die, I don't understand.
Right. They did. So
what was the Pesach at that point? All the bad Yidden Lechara were gone.
Well, so it's a good question. Maybe one answer was that even the good ones weren't so great, right? And that we had to have Zechusim. Wasn't so question. Wasn't that all the ones who were left were A1? You know, 1,000. It could be the ones that were left also, you know, were really, really not Seder. To a very large degree, which is very probable. You know, the Memshes Metes Shari Tuma, you know, like, right, so, just think about Matzav today, Hashem Yirachem, you know. First of all, how much, you know, we have to cry, we have to feel bad for the Kavod Shechina, that there are so many bad people in Klal Yisrael. Feel bad for the Kavod Shechina, for the Kavod Hashem, that there are so many people like this in Klal Yisrael. You just have tzar over the Shechina, you know, like if there's somebody that you know very well, and the person, is Rahman Islam, People in his family that are revolt against him, and people around him, you know, they're all revolting. So he felt bad for him. So you have to feel bad for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all these people are revolting. Okay, everybody. So Hashem should help us. Hashem should help us. Hashem should help. Sometimes you hear of the things that's going on even here in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, with the camped away from over there. Like once in a while, you look at, you know, that with the Arabs, what's going on all over, you know, with the rebelliousness and the, who's taking care of it? These people, these leftists that are all for the Arabs and the racists. Okay, we say Bez Hashem. Okay, good evening. Good evening, everybody. Last time we got together, what did we do?
Speaking about the Parnassa and Mishtadlis.
You were last week.
No, last week we didn't have, because no one was around and the Rav decided not to give. But the week before we had done the Mishtadlis and the Rav gave a big chiddush. That's why I sent the email from Milinowitz. We never really had a chance to speak it out.
You know, with the computer, these strange things happen. That email seems to have disappeared.
Really?
Yeah.
So I sent her a Milinowitz,
okay,
for Bilinski's shot. Basically a goy who has to work 10 hours on a field. Mm-hmm. So a yid lechara would work half an hour or 5 hours or whatever it is. That there's a quantitative difference, an amount of ishtalas the Jew has to put in, and that's a chiddush. Right. The fact that everything comes from Kosh Baruch Hu, that's not a chiddush. I mean, it's something we have to mechazik ourselves. So Reb Milinowitz wrote back. I asked Reb Milinowitz if there is a makar, because we didn't get it. You know, I didn't hear the Reb Milinowitz.
Sure.
So Reb Milinowitz wrote back saying he doesn't know of a makar, but he said it could be that really the way the world works, like this is really, if you have enough Emunah and Bitachon, that's really how the world is meant to work. It's just that most times, that's the 85%, that 85% of the time the Yidden don't even have that level of Emunah. And so really, we really believe that it should be exactly the same. And so it's just, if you had the Emunah, then you would realize that it wouldn't be that. But because so many Yidden have the same level of Emunah Nebuch as the Goyim, so like that's just how it is. It's just... Really, that's how it should be. It should be that we should all know this. It's just that we don't. And so that's what Milinowitz was trying to say. That it's just that, unfortunately, we Yidden don't even have enough. We have the same level nevech of a moon of a goy, so we feel the only way we can accomplish our shtadlus is by doing whatever Derech HaTeva is. It's just,
I mean, I think that's very, very true. That point they said, that's one of the reasons why, you know, that I thought it was important to you know, discuss this. But, I mean, this nekuda that you brought up about is it, you know, what's the makar that we have less ishtadlis? So like I was, it sounds like Rabbi Milinowitz also was masking to you that it would be interesting to see a mefurish makar for it. I thought that's what,
yes,
I said. But I was like shocked at, because I think that, as far as I know, there's so many chazal, I think, talk about, yeah, this chazal, I think I mentioned it here, that I think Rava told his Tamidim, you know, like, was it Nisan and Tishrei, don't come before me, you know, for the Shurim, because those 2 months you have to make a shtadlis of Parnassa. Right? In other words, it's much of the whole year they don't have to make ishtadlis. And those 2 months, he said, don't come, I don't want to see you, you know, here for this year, because you should, those 2 months you should work in Parnassa. I mean, that's like an open Gemara. Like, is that how it works, 2 months a year? But I think that as far as I know, I have to think of, you know, specific, but as far as I think the Chazal is full of this. First of all, the man, zichen, like in the midbar, surely not, right? Right? And the Chazal say that we're oichle man, we're all oichle man, right? Even ayom hazeh, that's what we want to explain, that Moshe Benu put away the sincerity of man, and Rashi says because someday the Navi, the Kal Yisrael are going to be nisrashel with their limud Torah, because they're going to be marbe too much ishtadlus, you know, for Parnasa. So the Navi is going to take out the sincerity of man. The question is, how is that going to inspire them? That one is a history piece for the museum. What happened in the Midbar? How is that going to give them chizik? You know that they're emphasizing too much their hishtadlus, you know, for Parnassa at the expense of Torah. So the answer is obviously that man is still no geya. That this is the man, you're still eating man. And I say again, I think that, I mean, again, like it's almost an open, you know, an open demonstration of this Yisayin. But I mean, listen, Rabbi Milowitz, I'm sure he knows Shas very well, because you know he was in charge of the English translation, the art scroll. So I'm sure he's familiar with all these, and also they're working on the Medrash, many Midrashim speak about it. So actually was taken back that if he's Muslim, he said, I would like to also hear Makoris. Happen to have more Makoris than he does, you know, like he's like the, you know, so it wasn't clear to me, is that what he wanted?
That's a good kasha, but I mean,
because I thought he would be the last one in the world, like to, that's what I thought he was saying, like he would talk like it would be interesting to hear good Makoris for it. Maybe it was some kind of a misunderstanding, because if I ever wanted to get Makoris and I wanted to go to somebody, I would ask him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in general, everything that we do, every single thing that we do, we have a different mode of ishtadlus, from everything in medicine. And every single thing that we do, there's a whole different, we're subject to different rules completely, you know, and especially Parnassa. So that's, you know,
it's very...
Shabbat in Chobos Lubavos describes how we pronounce it, you know, in Shtadlis. I mean, it's the whole...
It's very hard for me to get my, like, if I make phone calls at night and I need to make a certain number of phone calls derech hateva to send out a certain number of contracts, and if I make half those calls, I send out half the number of contracts, and that's the amount of contracts dictates how much money comes in the door. I mean, it's almost a formula. Now, in other words, what the Rav is saying is that take the formula and throw it out, even though my guy at the next seat is doing exactly that formula, but I should work half the time, and I'll still get the same amount of money as if I worked the full time. But that's just not, that's not the reality. I don't understand. That's not what happens, though.
I understand.
It's very, very unclear to me what the pshat is. Does it mean that I'm supposed to have the imuna, and if I have the right level of imuna, mitachon, it will happen? Or that I really am living, really my machnosis are more than I really need. Really, I should be able to memayid my parnasa to get a little more Torah learning, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'll work out budget-wise how I'm going to be able to feed my family.
I don't have, you know, exactly clear answers to that question, but one thing seems to be very clear is that. When you're working side by side with this person that you know that no tiki, no washi, you have to put in like that amount of time, and now you heard this hashkafa that I'm saying, you say, well, according to this, I should be working half the time, right? So the question is that do you really, you know, it's what the, I guess, say what the answer is, that how much you should be able to cut down now if you have the hashkafa for an emes, I don't know. But because, and we'll assume that if you really now adapted the Torah Digger outline, how much it should be working with the Torah outline, right? That's a question. Now, but we're assuming that when you ask that question, you of course have the Torah outlook. Why? Because you came to the Vod, and I shared it with the Olim what the Torah outlook is. But you should understand, you have to know that even if it's such a thing that the Metzias, that you can cut down a half, even a quarter, a third, but that's assuming that you have the Torah outlook, that you is part of your internalized true prospect, you know, your true how you look at it, right? Your what do you call it?
Weltanschauung.
What?
Weltanschauung.
right. Perspective. That's the word. Perspective. So, in other words, assuming that you that it's really your true perspective now, how much we have to cut down, but. I would probably be right to say that even though you came to this year and you absolutely 100% accepted what I said, and Mimela, you absolutely 100% willing to adapt that as your outlook, you have to understand that even with all the sincerity and emes, but doesn't mean that's your
100%. Right.
So, like, if you cut down your work to a third, so what you're doing could be is that a person that really believes they have to work for the 10 hours, and you're cutting out the 2 hours because you heard it in Reb Mordechai's Vod, but you're really a 10-hour man, you know what I mean? And even though you want to believe it, but if inside you don't really, really accept it, there's an interesting... example of this that it's a famous story about a gadol. So, I mean, there's really a big machlokes, in the site of Betachin, an old machlokes is that if you, and you touched on that before, we just said if a person really believes he's going to get a certain thing, so does Betachin demand him believing that he'll really get it? In other words, do you really believe in Munish Lema that you're going to get $100,000? If you really, really believe Hashem will give it to you, so you'll get it. If you really believe, you'll get it. Is that mitochen? That's what mitochen is. If you have true faith in Hashem, that you can get it, you're going to get it. Well, no, that's not mitochen. Mitochen means that you have true faith in Hashem that He loves you and He takes care of you. And whatever happens to you, it's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you might not get $100,000. Instead, you might get 5 shkolim, yishonim, not chadoshim. Mitochen means that you put your hands in the lap of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yochel, and you think and feel that Hashem is with you, He loves you, He's taking care of you, and you thereby accept anything that's dealt out with you that's coming from Hashem, and you feel confident that whatever He's giving you, it's with full control and understanding, right? So that's a big machlekes, what the bitochen is. I think Chavos Vavos speaks that clearly, it's the second thing, right? So, I mean, there was a story about it. I mean, you all have many gedolim, the whole other thing. It's not so pashut, right? That if you really believe you get it, you get it. So there was a gadol that was speaking about this thing the first way, and there was a person that came up after the gadol what did he say? I think this person was in the Shri Matzav of Parnassa, this person, and he needed a certain amount of money. So he asked the Gadol that you want to say me that if I really believe I'm going to get 10,000 ruble, so I'm going to get it. So the Gadol said yes, without any question. Without any question. So then the person came back some time later. He didn't get the 10,000, which he went to the Gadol and said, I really believe and I didn't get it. So the Gadol said to him, listen, I promised you that if you really believe, you'll get it. That means you have a schuz for 10,000 ruble, you know. So I tell you what. Let me buy the schuz from you. I'll pay you for the schuz. I'll give you 5,000 ruble cash if you're willing to sell me your schuz. You know, I'll give you mamish 5,000 ruble, for your schuz. The rabbi said, of course, what's the question? So the guy will say, you see, you said you believe, but if you really believe, you're going to get the 10,000, so why are you selling to me for 5,000? He's going to give him $5,000 for nothing, just because, you give me your schuz. So he's getting, cold cash, 5,000, this person willing to give him 5,000 just for the schuz, of course they grab it. That rabbi doesn't have a penny, and this person is giving him 5,000 here on the cash, just give me your schuz, that's all. So who wouldn't do anything like that, So the God said to him, if you really believe, you tell me you really believe, and that's why you have a tain on me. Where's the 10,000? Because I told you, if you really believe, you'll get it. Do you really believe? If you really believe, would you sell me your schuz for 10,000 or 5,000? That's a very clear example of this nekuda. I'm saying that, except that we were applying it even to the second way, that you have to really believe your panas from Hashem, and then b'meila you're under the umbrella under the jurisdiction of this other hanhaga. But if a person really doesn't believe it, like this example in the story, so then I don't know whether the person really thinks the other thing. So the only thing that'd be an interesting question is that if the person Bishita wants to, in other words, let's say a person thinks that the only way, like in America and Chutzlar, it's like many people think the only way they can have Parnasa is by going to university, go to college. So we spoke about, just the ridiculousness of that, just looking at the statistics, how many, surgeons and doctors and PhDs are filling up their cars in the car stash. So the whole thing, take a survey before you. But let's say a person really, believes that, like most of the people there, that they must go to university, otherwise they can't find us. Then they come to Rav Mordechai Van, and we get informed, the true facts of life, that Mamash Shtus, Hevel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you panasa without, without the college. And the person says, Kibalti, 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 I accept it 100%, right? So now he's willing to, signed up for a course in college, and he'll take a course, he's willing to drop the course cold turkey in the middle of the term, right? So now what I'm saying is that because he holds Beshita, it's the wrong thing. It's wrong to think that he has to go there. So never, but I'm saying that, let's say he inside, he really, still believes that. So would you say, now according to what I'm saying, that would it be right for him to drop it? Because Beshita, he's masking to me 100%, he agrees with what I said. But I'm saying that maybe if inside you don't feel it, so maybe you don't have a right. So does that mean this guy's willing to quit college, for all the other side, trimmings that are not so beseder, going to a co-ed college, the side trimmings that aren't so great, and the co-ed dormitory, so he's willing to give it up immediately because of the concern of Bitochen. But now we're saying that maybe if inside, he doesn't really accept it 100%, even though he'd like to, so would that mean they should still go into college because, that's his shtadlis? Very interesting question. Even though, he really sincerely, really wants to believe it, says he does. So according to what I'm saying, that's your question, except now it's coming out in college. That means he shouldn't quit college because maybe he doesn't really accept it inside. But even though he's willing to accept it 100%. But so here you're willing to, here the other guys are working 8-10 hours. You accept 100% without any doubt that this is emes lamitoi. I mean, maybe you don't have to have such a big ishtadlis, right? But so that was hypothetically 100%, but let's say you don't really inside, so that's our question,
You see it the other way too in Eretz Yisrael. People learning in Kollel, yeah, who have, not only they don't have any money, but their families have no money, the kids are poor,
right.
The mamash have nothing.
Right.
And so then is that called financial irresponsibility, or is that bitachon?
Right.
I don't know. I don't live in that world, so it's very hard for me to get my, you know, to understand. But at some level, they must believe. I don't know. They must believe at some level that this is what Hashem was giving them.
Right.
If they put the shtadlis in a normal derech hateva way, they would change the situation. For some reason, either that's wrong, either that's what you're not supposed to.
Can I interrupt you? Yeah. Because I really want to, you know.
Okay,
you know,
sorry.
You know, I just
we'll discuss it.
But you know, I mean, these are we can discuss that, but we just have a few minutes left for tonight, the Helig Ufta for tonight. So that was the last thing we did when we got together. So basically, tonight I think that we don't have too much of a choice, like Nyanet Yema, is pushing us to do one thing, right? About Simcha, right? Work on Simcha. I just want to also throw in for half a second that we did not so long ago the Ufta about trying to feel focus on the Shechina when you come to the Beis Knesset, right? Other remember that we worked on that recently. So even though we only have one Ufta usually, but I think because of the Parshas Shavuah with the Shechina coming down, that maybe the only remembers of what it was. Maybe we should try to do the other thing also before you walk into the Beis Knesset or the Beis Medrash, to pause for a moment and think, you know, that I'm about to walk in to this room, which is not just a study hall or a place where a pray hall, but a place really the Shechina is, Hashem is here, right? So we've done this over the, right? Seriously, and so the other one is, you know, knows what it is. And also, sometimes during the davening or learning, if you can stop for a second and connect yourself with the Shechina that's there. So basically, Simcha, we want to work on Simcha, we say. So, first of all, I think it's very chashiv that whenever you have a time of simcha, the main yisoid, what we say, of simcha is that it's not, we look at it as a matzav ruach, like the weather report, and really it's not. Really, simcha is a avoida. Right? In other words, there are things that can make us simcha mimela, like the wind is blowing us this way, that way. So there is a matter of simcha that you just fall into it because of the events of the day as it unwinds. This gets besimcha, especially not besimcha. There is simcha that's the weather, we call it. The weather report simcha, we call it. But the real simcha, we say, is controlled by us, mostly by certain mental attitude, perspective, how we look at things, and how we think about things. So we say, this is not the framework for this, but the first thing is to be besimcha, to try to have the right mental outlook of things. What is that? Try to find out about that yourself. Because one most important thing is that helps us at melt the attitude is commando of Rahman al-Tab, right? That to remember that everything happens to us is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Tav. And even though we might not have, you know, played our cards right, we did something that we should have done this way, that way. But at the end of the day, if it happens to us, so Hashem wouldn't let it happen to us, no matter, even if we fouled it up with our ishtadlis. But if it's happening, it'd be the evid, it's from Hashem. So the fact that you know it's from Hashem, so it's important to recognize it and feel that everything Hashem does with us is the best thing, shayach, right? Sometimes it's not worth able to see it, but we have to believe it and try to think, try to see sometimes ourselves how it, you know, we benefit from it. So like that's the main tool that we have for Simcha. Then of course we have Rabbi Say, we have number two, Chitzen Mor the Pnim. You know, doing outward things like dancing, singing, listening to music. If you have kosher books on jokes, reading some good jokes, we say that's chitzen, kosher. You know, I don't know if there is such a thing, but the chitzen, bigger things, we say. Also, number three, it's not against the das of the Torah sometimes to make use of the catalytic agent, that liquid called alcohol. I'm not saying to get drunk, like, you know, load, shikras load, but you can use alcohol, you know, if that wine or something, or liqueur, if that, you know, gives you a little lift in the simcha. So it's again, I don't mean a person should get drunk and overdo it, but there's nothing wrong, you know, with a person using alcohol to try to lift the spirits to get a little, the simcha, basically, with discretion, right? And then again, maybe number one above all is Abayisai, Torah. Torah Hashem Masamchele, Abayisai. Like, I just want to do this thing. Okay. Torah Hashem Masamchele, that Torah itself brings us tremendous simcha. Now, so sometimes if you're in a bad mood, like, it's hard to start learning, but once you start learning, like, it's amazing. I'm sure all of us here have had that experience that you're down and out about something, and you let yourself get into learning, a black Gemara, and it, like, dispels the darkness and the clouds. Now, sometimes the bad mood doesn't allow you to, you know, get into the learning, but if you, you know, force a little bit, and you just, like, just especially if you're learning with a chavrusa, to allow yourself to get into it, it's amazing how you see, like, the dark black clouds start dispelling, you know, as you're getting into the learning. And sometimes you finish with the learning session and you feel like mamish, like the thing isn't even bothering you anymore. So it's for two reasons. The fact that your mind is preoccupied with the Torah, number one. Number two, like, Torah, we know Torah has a schus, you know, Torah is Hashem Sam Chelev, you know, that Torah has this ability to bring a simcha, Rabbi Zai. So there you have four eights. But anybody quickly would like to throw out another one? You know, something that we haven't touched? Huh? Some other secret for simcha, Rabbi Zai. Right?
So repeat the four. The outlook, the external things, the Torah. What am I missing?
Alcohol.
Right. And what are the external things then? Oh, things like jokes or...
Right, or dancing, singing, music, right? I just thought of another one, Rabbi said, that's very potent, very tremendous, that sometimes if you make somebody else happy, so that can bring you simple also. You know? By bringing happiness to somebody, another tool. I think it's one of the most simchatic things that to bring happiness. And there's many ways of doing that. Cheering up a person that's in a bad mood, or going to a hospital and cheering up somebody, you know, that's down and out. And, because he's just a friend that saying some nice things to him, you know. Or even smiling at people in the street sometimes. You know, you walk down the street and you give somebody a big smile, and you see their face lit up, and it makes the person feel very good. Okay, Rabbi Sai. And I just want to watch the Olam. We mustn't forget, Rabbi Sai, that Purim is coming. So I think it's, we always speak about that all these Yom Tovim, the real tachlis is that we should have a aliyah from it, a real aliyah from it. And the way to get the real leader for it is, you know, to have the proper, you know, attitude, material. So, of course, the Megillah is a tremendous source, and Chazal on the Megillah. So I would suggest that also maybe starting by early season shopping, that you should make a little Seder in the Megillah, you know, maybe in the Gemara, Masech Megillah, where it talks about the Megillah, or just the Megillah with Rashi, or some other Purusha, by saying, start now, so that when it comes to Purim, you'll have, like, material to be able to really have a big aliyah for Purim, by saying, okay, sure. Wonderful,
sure. Sure.
Thank you, I'm very happy that you're here. Each one of you, has under